The inquest into the death of David Dungay in Long Bay Jail in New South Wales is at its halfway point. David Dungay died after being restrained and transferred by officers in December 2015. The court has heard that Mr. Dungay died of positional asphyxiation as a result of being restrained by the officers. The Wire's Taylor Fuller was at the inquest earlier today.
Over the last 4 days, the inquest into David Dungay Jr.'s death has seen officers from Correctional Services New South Wales give most of the testimony. Here's just a quick recap of what's happened. On Tuesday, the second day of the inquest, it revolved around whether officers were able to monitor David's breathing while he was being restrained. Officer F, who can't be named for legal reasons, said that whilst Dungay's cell extraction was playing out, he could see David's chest moving up and down. But later in the day, the officer came under fire from the counsel assisting the coroner, who pushed him on the fact that he was standing at the door of the cell, almost 3 metres away, and had his view blocked by the officers actually carrying out the restraint. Officer F, however, maintained his claim under heavy questioning, but also added that he thought Dungay's cries for help were in fact a ploy to get the guards to release their pressure on him, not cries for help. On Wednesday, the third day of the inquest, Officer O, an actual member of the IAT team who carried out the restraint procedure, said he wasn't aware of the risks carried by the restraint techniques he was using on Dungay. The officer said that he had only been given very brief training on the potential dangers of the technique as part of his induction course when he became an IAT member. And since Dungay's death, he also admitted that he had received no extra training, except for reading a memorandum sent to all corrections staff in 2017. Looking back now, he told the court, I could see things we'd have done differently. On the third day of the inquest, it emerged that the IAT was under the impression that they had been sent to a security situation, not a medical situation. Officer A, the most experienced of the IAT team, said he wasn't told that he was moving Dungay in order to remove the packet of biscuits he was eating, or that a doctor had allegedly refused to sign a medical certificate approving the transfer. And he also repeated claims that he thought Dungay was faking his cries for help and elaborated that he assumed if Dungay could talk, he could breathe. But that this determination didn't come from any training he had received, rather his own personal experiences with panic attacks.
It's The Wire's Taylor Fuller, who joined us just a short time ago. There's been a bit of confusion here about who actually initiated David's transfer, whether it was medical staff or whether it was actually the officers. So what have we learned about that?
Yes, that's actually a really good question. There's still some confusion in the court as to who initiated the transfer. So we've only heard testimony from the IAT officers and other corrective services officers who claim that nurses initiated the transfer. But the lawyers who represented the nurses have been putting forth the idea that, in fact, it wasn't the nurses who initiated the transfer, it was the corrective services officers. We won't know the truth until next week, unfortunately, because we're yet to hear from the Justice Health nurses.
And did all of the officers understand the reason for the transfer? Because there seems to be some confusion about that in the testimony.
Yeah, so it turns out that not all of the officers, in particular the IAT officers, weren't clear on why David was being transferred. So they were told that it was he was being transferred for security reasons, when in fact one of the reasons, well, the only reason that David could have been transferred in the first place was for medical reasons. So just stepping back a bit here, the reason David was being transferred was because he had low blood sugar levels earlier on in the day and was eating a packet of biscuits in his cell. We don't know who yet, but somebody claimed that if Dungay continued to eat those packet of biscuits, that his blood sugar levels would spike and that he could go into a diabetic coma. But we're really not sure as to who made those orders.
And it's been said David's death was caused by cardiac arrest, possibly because of an interaction with medication he was taking? Is that still held up as the cause of death at this stage?
Well, so we really haven't reached that point of the inquest yet, unfortunately. We haven't heard from any expert witnesses. We've only heard testimony leading up to the cell extraction and during the cell extraction and restraint process. So once we have a basis of what actually happened during this restraint process, then expert witnesses will be called and we can determine, and the court will determine rather, how Dungay actually died.
And the family has been public throughout this week, especially mm-hmm. after there was an apology to the family about Dungay's death. So what has the family said up to this point?
Well, the family, to put it bluntly, they don't want to be here. They don't want to be revisiting probably the most traumatic moment of their life over and over and over again. They want to find the truth first and foremost, and they want somebody to be held responsible and accountable for their actions. But it's unsure as to whether this process will give them that closure.